Thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 103, part 1, Our Consolation is in Christ. Today is Friday, June 26, 2009. Thank you for joining us today. The month of June, the most beautiful month in the year. Absolutely gorgeous in Minnesota. Come to Minnesota. Well, you don't have to come to Minnesota to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission, the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, is located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue, located at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. Now, if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to visit us online, too, at www.pastorpaul.org. Did I say that right? Let me say it again. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to help support our urban mission operations. We need your support, so help us out. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, our store, where you can purchase our supplement, Protandem. Everybody should be taking Protandem. Twitter and YouTube. So be sure to go online, www.pastorpaul.org, and check out and join our online community. Also, when you go to the blog, you can leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. At the blog, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures that are within Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to go there. Be sure to visit me at Hearts of Fire, the Janine Sherry podcast, coming soon. So thank you for joining me, and be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's message. There are two parts. The first part is on Friday evening. The second part is on Sunday. So have a great month, and we'll see you back here. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, Our Consolation is in Christ. Today, let's enter into Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort, if any love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, meaning any affection or compassion. Did you ever think about all the words and languages there are? Thousands of them, some lost. Do you ever think since the time that Adam had to go out of the garden, how the language had to change? Adam, of course, would never have understood the word consolation. Why? Because in the Garden of Eden, he didn't understand the word sorrow. And see, our language has grown tremendously through our many griefs, through our many tribulations. And so then when man was driven out of the garden into this wide, wide world, he needed new words to express himself. He was choked up. He was beside himself. He was outside of God, and there was a moaning and a crying inside. New feelings that he had never felt before. Feelings. feelings like I've never had before. Feelings, it is all outside now. New feelings of hate and rebellion and lonesomeness and sorrow and depression and grief and greed and pride. New emotions like he had never had before. Flesh emotions, flesh desires, lust, new words of excuse, new words of cover-up words, acting out words, fig cover-up words. The devil's language he had to learn. Outside of the garden and into the world. What a lonesome sight that must have been. Walking out with withering fig leaves. And so see, there has been an increase in our language. By eating then from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And as his knowledge grew and increased, so must his language. Now when you come to different parts of the city or different parts of the country, there are new words, because there's new areas, new expressions. You'll find that even here on the north side, there's a whole new vocabulary. To express then the futility, the increase in drug culture, the poverty, all those words that you wouldn't have just a few miles from here. Then they have words out there. They're outside of the garden too. But we'd have to increase our vocabulary. We even take the Bill of Rights and we build around them, have 10,000 excuses for each one. Why not to keep them? Same way with the Word of God. But not until Jesus Christ could the word consolation be truly used. Outside of him, and I believe this with all of my heart, and I know it to be true for the Bible says so. Outside of him, there is no consolation. There is a song, I don't get no satisfaction. Actually, it should be, I don't get no consolation. That's what they really mean. Well, I don't get no consolation. No consolation, comfort, love, or fellowship of the Spirit or mercies outside of God. Consolation, I believe, is that dew that falls from heaven, those drops upon the desert of the hearts below. And so you see, true consolation to the hearts must be one of the very choicest gifts of the divine mercy. When you're at home all by yourself and you're feeling out of it, you listening to this radio message, maybe you're out of it, maybe you're at home, maybe you're listening to this tape, maybe you're just feeling like a reject. There is a consolation, and that consolation is Jesus Christ. You'll find no other. Because the full meaning of consolation can only be found in Christ Jesus, who came from heaven, who then again ascended to heaven to provide a strong and everlasting consolation for those who were bought with the price, his blood. That's your consolation. And also remember, the Holy Spirit in this present dispensation is revealed to us as the Comforter. Imagine what it's going to be like when the Holy Spirit pulls all of the Spirit-filled Christians out of here, and the world is given over to the forces of evil. The partakers of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it is increasing every 10 years since 1940. From 40 to 50, knowledge doubled. 50 to 60, it doubled. And from 70 to 80, and so on. But where has it brought man? It's given them a whole lot of new words. H-bomb. A-bomb. Ballistic bomb. And they're bombing out. Civilization has bombed out. And there's only one consolation now coming down the track. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very evident. Don't look anywhere else for any kind of consolation. Don't look to the soaps for consolation. Say amen. Don't look to the preacher and don't look to a friend. Don't look to the wife and don't look to the husband. They cannot give you consolation. They cannot console your soul. There is only one. The Lord Jesus Christ. Anything else will get you into trouble. Now you listening. If you're thinking of having some kind of an affair outside of your marriage, because you want somebody to console you, some big ear, it's not going to happen. It's not in them. They're looking for the very same thing that you're looking for, and it can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. How many just heard that one? And I think it's a mistaken thing that a lot of times when couples just don't get completely along, that they go outside of their marriage and look for someone to console them and listen to their blues. Garbage. You'll end up in a worse fix than what you're in right now. Double trouble. There is only one consolation, and that consolation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will reveal it to you personally. Imagine, though, when the Holy Spirit leaves here, when we are taken up into the air, when the church is gone, when the devil has free reign and fear like never before is present here. No perfect love to cast it out. But the Holy Spirit does convince of seed. He does illuminate and instruct. But his main heavenly goal and heavenly gladness is to make the hearts of you glad. The hearts of you to be renewed. In confirming the weak and lifting up all them that are bowed down. Whatever the Holy Spirit may not be, and there's so many arguments about the Holy Spirit. Whatever that the Holy Spirit may not be, he is evermore the comforter of the church. He magnifies Christ. But now listen, the Holy Spirit is the comforter, but Christ is the comfort. The comfort will be magnified in you as you seek your consolation in God. In Christ, the Holy Spirit consoles, but Christ is the consolation. He brings you comfort, but he brings you a magnification of Christ. A lifting up and a leading to the truth. And all truth is Jesus Christ. So as he magnifies Christ in you, you receive more truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the physician, but Christ is the medicine. He heals the wounds, but it is by applying the holy ointment of Christ's name and Christ's grace. And in the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. All these other things that we have been seeking will do no good. And that's why there are so many fractions and bitterness and rivalry and contention and all these things. Because we're not considering Christ as our consolation. And we're looking for some kind of a teaching, or some kind of spiritual wisdom or something like that. And we're leaving out the main ingredient, the consoler of our souls, Jesus Christ, and seeking another way to get to Christ. And there's only one way. To call out in the time of trouble, and he will answer. He takes not his own things, the Holy Spirit, but of the things of Christ. See, there is a storehouse, and the Bible calls it the good store, and the good store is your subconscious mind. Well, you say, well, why does God have the subconscious mind? Because there's a lot of things you don't want to bother your mind with that are down inside your subconscious. And you've been taught by the devil, and now the Holy Spirit is leading into all truth and magnifying Christ and dropping new things down into your subconscious, so automatically you can call upon the storehouse of the true knowledge of the love and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ down there in the subconscious. And it will well up, and out of your innermost beings, it says in the Bible, will flow rivers of living waters. And when you call upon the name of the Lord, down deep inside, in that subconscious, which is the consciousness of God, it wells up. It's been fed by the Holy Ghost. There are new languages that are coming in, a heavenly language. And all that old stuff is being replaced. All the old thoughts, all the old patterns, all the old nightmares. And so automatically now you start to praise the Lord. You don't even know where it comes from. It comes from your innermost being. Praise the Lord. It comes from the consoler. How many are hearing this message today? Oh, God, hear it. Hear it, because there's so many that are down at the mouth and they're wandering around, born, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're not looking to the consolation prize, Jesus Christ. Better keep your eyes right on him, or if you be off center, be like one of them wheels that sort of bobbles along, because you're off center. See, when you're in the center, you don't have to do nothing. You're just right in the center there with God. You don't have to work it out. Because he works it in, and he helps you to work it out. But he takes not of his own things, but the things of Christ. He replaces all those things, and let's call it a computer readout. No, one fine day we'll all have a computer readout. Say amen. We are not counseled today by new revelations, and everybody's looking for a new revelation. Christ has already been revealed. What more is there? Oh, no. We are not consoled today by new revelations, but by the old revelations explained, enforced, lit up, if you will, with a new splendor by the presence and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, and the Leader into all truth. But you're going to hear coming false teachings. Oh, here's a brand new revelation. No, it's an illumination of what God has already said. There's nothing outside of what God says. Say amen. And you'll have the Jehovah Witness that every 10 years, they have a new revelation. Doesn't even line up with the Bible. And you'll have the Mormons, they have a new revelation. Doesn't like, let them go to hell, the Bible says. And you'll have all of these religions from the East and all over coming with a new revelation. Look out. The revealing is the revealing of Jesus Christ, or it isn't a revealing of anything. If it doesn't lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, it is false and phony, and don't you pay any attention to it. And that's what we've been doing. We've been looking for a way out. We've been looking for some kind of consolation through movies or through the TV or through this or that. And we haven't been looking entirely onto Christ. And so let's look at three things this morning. Number one, to show how Christ in his varied positions is the consolation of the children of God in their varied trials. We have a lot of trials. Number two, to see that Christ in his unchanging nature is a consolation to his children and to the children of God in their continual sorrows. Aren't people, it seems, in continual sorrows? They just get out of one mess, my God, and they're into another one. But if you didn't have any sorrows, and you didn't have any trials, and you didn't have any sufferings, where would be your consolation? See, they're there, but your consolation is in Jesus. Well, that don't help me right now. Well, see, you're not looking to Jesus. You're still in your thought. You got to get out of there, and you got to get into the consolation message, Jesus. I just can't. You can. Stop looking at yourself. Stop mirroring yourself all the time and get to looking at Jesus. Or you'll get into a whole lot of trouble. And thirdly, we shall dwell upon the question as to whether Christ is a consolation to us, in plain English. Is Christ a present and available consolation for me? Is he available to me right now? So first, let's look at Christ in his varied positions and the consolation we have with problems. You have problems? Well, you can have consolation in your problems. I started to look at our master's history, and I thought, what a long and an eventful one. But every step of it yielded an abundant comfort to the children of God, and so let's follow him. From the very highest glory to the cross of the deepest woe, then up from the grave and up again to the throne of the Father, all the way through will be found the flowers of consolation for us to pick along the man's road acquainted with grief and sorrows. There is a flowering all along there for us to pick, a consolation garden, if you will. It says, all his paths drop fatness. All his garments, which he wears in his different offices, smell of myrrh and alloys and cassia, and of all the ivory palaces whereby he makes his people glad. Jesus can make you glad. Well, let's go to the great fall. Here we have Adam and Eve leaving with wilted fig leaves. Leaving the Eden caused many times, I believe, in our own hearts and our own souls of fading in our own little gardens. We've been working up a sweat ever since trying to get right. Do you ever see somebody that needs consolation in Jesus and then they dig deeper into their own self-works? They need consolation. They need to seek the prize. But look at here, God anticipated the fall. Isn't this great? And he prepared a sacrifice before it even ever happened. Oh. Just like you prepare for your little one. You got a porch here, and all of a sudden you think, I got to put a little thing here, a little gate here, so the little one doesn't fall all the way down. I got to have some Band-Aids up here in this medicine cabinet. Because I anticipate that the little one is going to fall. Here's a little stick, because I anticipate he's going to run out in the street, and I got to give him a little lick on the seat of the pants. Little chastisement. Here's his room, and he's going to stay in there until he learns a little bit of a lesson. So it is with our Father. Praise the Lord. There is no, doesn't your little one come up and look for consolation? They hit me in the face. Huh? He did it. What are they looking for? Consolation. And unless we come as little children looking for consolation, we'll never get it. See, you're grown up now. You're 40 years old. You can't go up and say, Mommy, the world hit me in the face. So she says, look at my battle scars. Go out and get your licks. It's the way the world is, she'll say. That's the way it is. You have to learn how to cope with the world. You have to learn how to cope with the problems. You have to learn how to turn yourself on to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to say, there's no consolation. Can they console a soul? Can you? Can you console yourself? Huh? No. It's got to be a divine being that consoles you. Now, preachers, you need a lot of consolation. You aren't going to get it from people. Most times, people are waiting for you to fall right down on your face. Now, get it right. Say amen. That's the nature of man. Say it. It's truth, isn't it? Come on. Isn't that the way it is in the competitive world? Everybody's waiting for the other guy to fall so they can elevate themselves. And they get all done. They've done something real good that's real great, and they look for consolation through a bet, somebody patting them on the back all the time. But then the pats die down, and pretty soon the person says, man, get out of here. I'm tired of consoling your weak mind. Say amen, somebody. Now, how many are hearing it? Do not look to anyone but Jesus Christ for your consolation. Now, you can counsel with people until the Lord comes. And you can get a couple in there, and they'll just sit there, and their lips are hanging out of their face. They're looking for either one to console the other one. And usually, if you're counseling them, you'll have them to, okay, let's make up now. And they'll go into a great big, flesh package and hug each other and go out in the street and beat each other again. Why? They cannot console one another. They can't even console themselves. It isn't in them. There's only one. Jesus Christ. Do you ever try to console a baby that's crying? Wah! 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 How long can you take it? You're in a cafe and you're going out and you've ordered your roast beef dinner and you have the chicken and the kid picks up the chicken and throws it. Huh? And then you lick the little one and then you might just kind of give him a little splat on the seat of the pants. And so then the little one, what does he do? He looks for consolation from grandma and grandpa. And he goes a whole trip around. Don't give him any. Don't butt in, grandparents. Stay out of it. Bring that little one up in the ways of the Lord. Say, let's go pray over here about just what happened here. Let's pray that Jesus helps us so we don't throw chicken fat in Grandpa's hair next time. And then you end up consoling Grandpa. Oh, Grandpa, Grandpa, what did baby do to you? Oh, huh? Everybody in the whole family, oh, this kid's driving me crazy. What will I ever do? You, how about me? And everybody's looking for consolation in the whole family. The whole family is looking for consolation. How many are hearing this? Praise the Lord. Oh, I guess there's all kinds of ways of looking at it, isn't it? There's only one consolation prize, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sorry you missed part of this. Say amen. There is only one that you can turn. I'll go back a little bit. Don't look for consolation out of your husband or your wife or the friend or the pastor or somebody out in the street. There is none. There is only one consolation, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've got to get that down, or we'll never be consoled. We have to look at the little kid and say, Jesus went through all this. Jesus went through all this, and Jesus went through all that, and that's my consolation. He's already done it all. How many hearing this? Whew. Think of all of God's mercies. Think of them. And the predestinated love that he gave towards us. And a very effectual remedy for all of our diseases. A certain deliverance from all of our sorrows. And all through this we see Christ fulfilling the Father's will through the ages. Oh, Jesus, you have worked it out. You truly are the counselor of his people and the consoler of his people. Remember then that the Lord and the Master, our Master, appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre, disguised as what? A pilgrim, the Bible says. Abraham was a pilgrim, so in sympathy, Christ became one too. Also, he appeared to Jacob at the brook. Jacob there had to wrestle. Christ became a wrestler. He became a flaming bush. God, I'm talking about. Did he not appear to Joshua in that battle? Yes. Did he not appear to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in a fiery trial? Oh, yes, he did. And so now that we have prepared ourselves to receive consolation, will he not do the same when we climb the mountain? When we need him in a battle, when we need him in the desert, when we need him in fiery trials? Yes, the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our consolation. Follow his footsteps to us. Born in the manger, it says, of the Virgin Mary. Then he became a carpenter. He became flesh to what? Suffer. To suffer weakness. The Bible says to suffer temptation. And it says that he maintained all by the grace that was within him. And so maybe you today that are listening are tried and troubled. And then how comforting it is to know that he is one with us in our nature. He understands. He suffered all that you are now suffering, all of it. The hard times you're going through, the nervousness. Do you ever have a fit of nervousness where you just are having a fit and you're all twitchy and nervous all day? Huh? Did you? Yeah, just like your skin was crawling, huh? Have you? Have you ever had this nervous fit so that it seemed like everybody was against you? Don't nobody love me anymore? Did you ever have one of those? You go around the whole day thinking people hate you. Well, they do, but you got a consolation. Jesus loves you. Man hasn't got no love. Let's face it, outside of Jesus Christ, there is no love. They get sick of you if they have to console you every day. Say, man, get out of here. I've been talking to you all the time, patting you and loving you up. Grow up. It's the way we are outside of the love of God. We're not made to console one another. Well, we can, just for a little while. But boy, when we get tired, we say, I wish this person would go home. I am tired. Huh? And for good reason, too. It's very good that it's that way. It is. Because then you find out that you need Jesus. You can't look to a person. If you could look to a person, you'd make him a god. Say, there's my consolation over there. Isn't he a nice package? Just look at him. He's all smiles and he's all happy. And he's my consolation. I just love him so. And we do that with our little grandchildren and things, don't we? They just bring us our happiness. This is my consolation prize until they go haywire. And we don't want to claim them. They got dirty diapers, we hand them back. How many hearing this? Oh, maybe we'll go to the wife. And we'll say, oh, well, how'd it go, honey? Oh, I had a hard day today. Oh, poor guy. And she's doing all a thousand other things while she's saying, poor guy. And you think, well, you aren't paying much attention to me. I need a lot of attention. I need a lot of consoling. I've had a hard day here. I've been soaking in the tub. I'm all wrinkled, and I got chocolate all over my face from the bonbons and all of these programs I've been watching. None of them have turned out the way I thought they would. I'm miserable. Hey, that's the truth. It sounds kind of silly, but it really is the truth. Or, you don't know what I put up. We had coffee this morning with all the girls in the block, and everybody's after everybody. We hate each other. And you come home, and what good are you? You don't give me any consoling. And the wife wants to be consoled when the husband comes home, and the husband wants to be consoled when he comes home by the wife, and neither one of them can do it, and they end up in a great big fist fight. And then they have to go out and have somebody else console them. And they're like two little kids. He did this and she did that and so on like that and back and forth. And so they need someone to console them. Huh? And maybe they'll even get into group therapy. They'll all sit in a great big icky flesh circle and they console one another. It's the truth, and it doesn't work. The world has tried it all.
So if you're teen, a teen.